The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
I say I come from India, only 5 pounds.
He had 5 pounds in his pocket when he came to Gibraltar.
1975.
Wow. Yeah. And this microphone cost me like £25.
1975.
1975, Ankita, remember that.
July 9th.
July the 9th. 19th. Okay, Dad, bless you. Okay. Welcome to the Desi Outsiders podcast. I'm Ankita.
And I'm Mino.
And this is the third and final episode of the education series that we started. So if you remember, in episode 4, we discussed our personal stories about how Mino chose to become a doctor, although she was raised away from all the engineering and medicine madness that happens in almost every Indian household around the time when a kid graduates from high school. And I decided to go into arts and humanities despite being brought up amidst all that madness. In episode 5, we discussed the differences between an Indian and a European school system, which pretty much shaped our initial exposure to education. So we basically went straight to the roots and discussed how we were taught different subjects in school, and we also shared some very interesting stories in the process. Do check it out if you haven't already. And finally, in this episode, we will try to dissect this topic of education in India by mainly discussing the fixation with engineering, medicine, and other quote-unquote professional courses. And we also hope to shed some light on the role of parents in shaping the future of their children. So, Meenal, while we're on the topic of engineering medicine drama, what do you think is the motivation behind choosing engineering in our country? Why do people just decide to become an engineer? Because we have this joke back home that if you go into a crowd and if you throw a pebble or a stone into the crowd, most definitely it'll land on the head of an engineer. Because there are just so many of them out there.
Ankit, it's very difficult to pinpoint one exact reason why kids choose engineering, for example. But we know there are a lot of factors involved, including families having some sort of validation, financial security, and just mainly for parents to have the confidence that, okay, our child or our kid has gone through the education system. Or it's because they have a degree which can secure their future, whether it's financially or within the family as well. In Europe, I think the main reason people choose engineering is because they like it. Because I've never come across any European person who's been forced into engineering.
Have you seen the movie Three Idiots, which is based on Chetan Bhagat?
Yeah, I think everyone has seen that.
Yeah, and you know Amir Khan's character.
Yeah.
They show you how from the time he was young, he had this screwdriver in his hand and he would open stuff up and he would try to put it back together. And so he had this natural curiosity for engineering and like mechanics and stuff like that. So I think what you just said about people having a natural inclination for the subject, if you want to relate to that, then this is the movie and this is the character that you should remember, because he wanted to do it from the time he was a young kid. And unlike his friends, who one of them joined the college because he wanted a job as soon as possible so that he could financially support his family.
Yeah, and I think one of them wanted to be a photographer as well, am I right?
Yeah, one of them wanted to be a photographer and his dad said, no way, we decided from the time you were born that you were going to be an engineer. So I think those three characters basically just sum up all the motivations behind becoming an engineer.
You mentioned one of the characters wanted to qualify as an engineer for financial security, to take care of his family. Yes, it happens a lot in India. I think it happened with my own dad as well. He went into accounting, and I don't know if that really was his passion. I don't know, I can't say that, but he had a family to support as well. Now, when you have a family to support and when you have all these things going on in your mind, the last thing would be, what is my passion? I'm not saying in Europe everyone is financially secure. I'm not saying everyone is blessed to be open to choose whatever they want. Some people are under some restrictions. Of course, everyone has their own story, but I think you find it less in Europe. And that's for sure, Ankita. I know a lot of friends who've gone to study engineering, and mainly it was because they enjoyed maths and physics in school. And I think I mentioned this in the last podcast, it does depend on the teachers you have towards the end of your education. If you have teachers who are very good at teaching physics or mathematics, you will start to grow more of an interest in that direction. And as I mentioned, gap years as well. So, I mean, I know a lot of people who've taken a gap year to figure out if they want to do engineering or not. It's a bit different in Europe, for sure. I can't speak so much about what it's like in India. One of my younger cousins is studying engineering, and my own brother studied engineering as well. But I didn't feel they had to do it under pressure because they generally wanted to go into that area of work. My younger cousin, he opens up computers and he fixes it all up, and he's been doing this since a young age. So
he was a Shane growing
yeah,
up.
Yeah, I guess you can say he was a Shane, yeah.
Yeah, because I heard the story from his parents where he didn't even know how to hold a screwdriver when he was like 5 years old.
Yeah.
And because his dad had a publishing company, they had to bring in this computer. And back in the day when we were five, you know, a computer in India, I don't know how he even got his hands on one.
Yeah.
And he brought it into the office, and Shane one day sat down and, you know, opened the CPU and tried to figure out what's inside, and he put it back together and it stopped working.
Yeah.
And when he messed it up so bad, they had to call someone to fix it, and they had to pay a lot of money, but his dad never screamed at him,
mm-hmm.
which Shane believes was one of the biggest encouragements for him to pursue this, because his dad was like, next time learn how to fix it yourself. So go sit with those people and figure out how to do it. And from the time he was a kid, he would actually sit with all those people, but every time he fucked up a computer,
yeah,
the repair people would come in, and you know, he would spend a lot of time with them trying to figure out what goes where. And I think it all boils down to that. From there are those kids who, from the time they're like 5 years old and can't even hold screwdrivers, are opening up computers and they want to go into this field.
Well, Ankita, a lot of the time it is how a child is raised from a young age. If you encourage your children to do these things, like Shane, like you mentioned, Shane's dad encouraged him to open up the computer, even though it cost him a lot of money. These are the small things which add up eventually. It's the same as I must have mentioned in my previous podcast, how sports was a big part of my life. And that was because I was encouraged so much to do it. If I wasn't encouraged, then I wouldn't go down that line. And yes, of course, you'll find a lot of kids in India who pursue engineering because they love computers or they love technology.
So yeah, I totally agree, Meena. So as I was saying, there are people who hold their tiny screwdrivers and try to figure things out, and they have a natural passion for the subject. Then there are those who, like me when I was 17, have no clue what they want to do with their lives, and they decide that they might as well go into a four-year course, which also promises you a job once you pass out. And you know, you can do that. There's this promise of employment as soon as you pass out, and that can shut those nosy relatives up because everyone, by the time you're like 15, 16, everyone's asking you, what do you want to do when you grow up, or what do you want to do once you pass out of school? So it's easier for them to just say, I'm going to go into engineering, and that'll buy them time.
Mm-hmm.
That'll buy them 4 years.
But the thing is, Ankita, it's a lot of pressure to put on a 15-year-old child. I mean, I'm 23 now. I'm almost finishing off, and people ask me, what specialization do you want to go into? And even I find that quite overwhelming, and I get stuck sometimes. I don't know what to say. So I can only imagine what it's like if I was 10 years younger or 8 years younger and I had the same questions coming to me. I would feel under a lot of pressure, and I'm pretty sure some kids give answers because they feel it's the easiest way out. So they will say,
yeah,
I want to do engineering because, well, I won't get any crap for it.
Yeah, and no more questions asked. The minute you say, I'm preparing for my engineering entrance, everyone just shuts up and they're like, okay, and they leave you alone. But imagine you go up to someone and say, I'm going to try becoming a writer, so I'm going to start interning with this newspaper, I'm going to go into journalism. There will be so many questions like, are you sure?
Yeah.
What kind of employment can you get? Because all this is just unheard of.
But the thing is, Ankita, yes, of course, parents will be worried if their child comes up to them and says, I want to be a fashion designer. And they will be worried because they don't have enough information about it, and they don't have enough information because, well, mainly a lot of the time it's because we're quite narrow-minded when it comes to these things. You know, it's so easy for us to just stick with the norms, and when we start to rewire our brain and think about other options, it becomes difficult. Sometimes it's just easy for parents or anyone to just go with the easiest option and say, okay, I think medicine engineering will be okay. I don't want to spend too much time thinking about fashion designing or writing because it's a very gray area.
So that's another thing that, since you brought up fashion designing. Another thing that parents would claim when a kid goes up to them and says, I want to become a fashion designer, they could say that, oh, but then there's no, we can't be sure that you're going to make it big in this industry. And if you don't, then you don't have a proper degree that can secure you a proper job, and you won't be earning a six-figure salary as easily as your, you know, cousin, or as easily as the Kapoor kid next door.
And that's one thing, Ankita, that I'm very happy about, because we were, so in growing up in Gibraltar, we had an intern community around us as well. We had a lot of kids who were studying law, accounting. I mean, I saw them all grow up and I saw them all go into university, but I never had this pressure on me saying, oh, look at his daughter, or look at his son, look at where they have reached. I've never had any of that. In fact, it was more encouragement. It was, oh, look, she went to study medicine. Why didn't you go ask her what she did, how she got into medicine, how she studied for her exam? So it was more encouragement rather than patronizing me.
So I feel that even in our Indian society, there would be a lot of encouragement in terms of, look, that cousin of yours or that neighbor of ours went into medicine. Why don't you go talk to that person and find out how they did it? But imagine if that cousin or that neighbor was me and picked English literature.
Yeah.
Nobody is going to send their kid to me and say, find out how she did that, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's the difference I'm talking about, because rebel stories or the deviants, nobody talks about them because we don't want to even give anyone that example. But the deviant stories never get mentioned. But the other success stories of other engineers and other medical students, they get told over and over again. So which is a kind of reinforcement in the minds of their children that this is what you need to do so that we feel proud of you as well. But another thing, since you mentioned that in Gibraltar you had an Indian community and no one really cared what anybody else did, and you know, there was no kind of comparison. I don't know if you ever went through it, because you said this, I don't know if you ever went through this, but in most Indian households, the minute your 10th standard or 12th standard board exam results are out, even relatives and distant relatives and family friends that you've never even met or you have nothing to do with, they will also call to find out how well you did.
I've seen it in my own family, actually, Ankita. I know that I have two cousins who are the same age,
right,
maybe just like a few months apart. So obviously they're going through the same years in school as well. And so they're close cousins. So they're first cousins. And if one gets a result, when they get results on the same day, neither of them will phone each other.
Huh.
Now, if I had a cousin my age, and this is what I would hope at least, I know it's easier said than done. So if I had a cousin my age and we're going through the same years in school, I would try and encourage them, and I would try and, you know, work as a team rather than find the other person as a threat. And it's really funny because, you know, when I go back to India and I have to ask them separately, even if they're in the same room, I have to ask them in two different occasions because they feel like they're being exposed by saying their results.
Okay. So that pretty much explains a typical scenario, but mostly I like to believe that the children don't have this competitive spirit as much as the parents. I think it is cultivated at home, because otherwise how can these kids just, you know, decide that we are close cousins, we're really close family members and we're the same age, we're going to be rivals instead of working as a team, especially if they grew up playing together.
Yeah, they did. They grew up in the same house.
Yeah. So I don't know if kids can just be like that. My experience is that chances are the parents were more competitive than the kids,
Ankita,
and
I think,
somehow.
Yeah, every kid should have a competitive drive, Ankita, but not to the extent where when you're 12, 13 years old, that innocence that you have within you about playing with your cousins and hanging around with your family becomes quite difficult.
We've been talking about engineering, Meenal.
Yeah.
We've been talking about how people get motivated to join engineering, and one of the motivations we discussed was that they are naturally inclined to pick up the subject. The second motivation we discussed was that they have no clue what they want to do, but they just want to shut people up. And
yeah,
they think it's an easy way out. And the third motivation is when they know that they want to do something else, but their families kind of force them into this, either because they say that once you become financially independent soon enough, you know, we will also be financially secure through your job. Or it could be because they're a part of a society where it's more respectable in that society or socially acceptable to go into this particular profession.
But Ankita, you mentioned that some kids go into engineering or medicine because they've been forced or they've been under pressure. In this kind of situation, to some extent, it's very easy to blame the family. It's very easy to blame the parents. But we are at a generation now where we are quite well educated in terms of having enough information around us and enough ideas for us to actually say to our parents and our families and say, actually, you know, engineering might not be my cup of tea. Can we try other options? Or can we, you know, there's obviously a way of saying these things depending on who you're speaking to. But I think I think right now we're blaming too much on families and social pressures, because what do you think, Ankita? What do you think about someone giving into this?
I feel that at the age of 16 or 17 or 18, when kids go off into college, they are not financially independent and they've been raised in this bubble, and they just obey what their parents tell them to do. And mostly they can't put up a fight at that age because they really are dependent on their families and the support of their families. And all their lives, they've been dictated the terms and they've kind of followed the terms dictated by their parents word to word. And they can't just suddenly grow up and say, oh, I'm going to rebel. Yeah, I'm going to just leave the city and go work at a beauty salon and then get famous someday.
I understand you can't just rebel all of a sudden and just flip the coin. But I think that we have to be strong enough ourselves to say, you know, this is actually not what I want to do. It's not easy to do. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm saying it as if it's really easy, but it isn't. There's something that you don't want to do. I mean, it's very difficult to realize that at the age of 17 or 18, you are giving a good chunk of your life away.
Yeah, that's true. And it's not just with this engineering is what I was trying to get at, because, you know, it's the same with medicine and law and CA and all of these other difficult slash socially acceptable slash respectable in the society sort of jobs in our country. And did you know that CA has been a trend in our country?
Well, Ankita, chartered accountants. So CA is chartered accountancy, right?
Yeah.
And is this a new course that's been introduced? Or has it always been CA as a degree available in India? Because I've only been hearing it recently.
Recently, because this whole movement regarding how parents are forcing their kids into engineering and medicine, it's been talked about a lot.
Right.
So now what parents kind of do is, you know, force their kids into CA, because once you get your certification, you can earn like six-figure salaries and stuff.
But Ankita, you say once you get your qualification. I know a couple of people who've spent years trying to pass this exam. I don't know the severity of it. I don't know how difficult it is. I've never been there in that situation.
Oh, I know, Mino, because the hostel that I was staying in when I was studying, it was not a college hostel. So we had children and people and students and working women and everyone from all walks of life. And a lot of these people were pursuing their CA certification. And some of them, what they did was they would get a BCom degree side by side, so that even if they, at some point, if they decide that they don't want to clear their CA anymore, they're done with it, they have something to fall back on. It's like a safety net, because they have a BCom degree now and they can maybe go in for a master's and get employed elsewhere as something else. It's too hard. CA in itself is really, really hard. So trying to manage a BCom degree on the side is even more hard. So a lot of people don't go in for that option. But you know what happens? After they pass out of their 12th grade, they have all these sets of exams to pass. And the thing with CA is that once you write one set, if you fail one subject in that set of eight subjects, you have to rewrite all eight exams.
Oh, shit.
And one of my roommates was this CA student. She was 26 years old. And she was writing her second last set, and she was also getting married soon. I remember I walked into the room one day and she's sitting and bawling her eyes out because she lost her set by 4 marks.
Oh my God.
Which means that she has to go back and write the exam. Like, she has to study all eight papers again and appear again, write that exam once again and hope that she passes.
And how long, so if you went to do these eight papers for one set, how long does that take? I mean, is it like, for example, if someone fails and they have to do it again, is it a year that they have to...
I'm not sure. I think it's anywhere between 6 months to a year, because my understanding is that CA exams are held in the months of May and November. So if you fail May, you can go back and, you know, sit for the exam again in November. I think that's how it works. And on the side, they need to do articleship. I think that is what it's called.
Right.
And they have to work for companies and do auditing and all of those things. And they work really hard till like 8, 9 p.m. in the night. They're going to all of these companies and they're doing their audit work and coming back and studying.
Well, Ankita, I think you mentioned how difficult CA is, right? And I'm studying medicine and I'm almost at the end of the road, and I think I've done over 30 final exams. And yes, I've been in my room bawling my eyes out before as well. But if I've failed an exam or if I've messed it up, I can actually do it the next day or the week after.
Right.
It's quite easy for us. But I just can't imagine waiting 6 months.
Yeah, 6 months, you have to study all over again. And it's like, it takes a toll on your mind, your body. And these people are, they get really depressed. And there was this girl again that I met. So I got to interact with so many CA students. students, which is why I know this for sure, which is why I know so much about the system. One of them, her dad was an English literature professor, and she wanted to go into English literature, but he was like, no, I mean, I was a professor, I earned so much, I want you to earn double that, a six-figure salary, so go into CA. And she, I would find her sitting somewhere reading a novel, and she would feel so guilty for reading that novel because she has studies to do.
Yeah.
And at one point, I saw in the hostel mess, this group of girls, they were sitting and studying, and I was like, oh, do you have an exam? They were like, yeah. I said, when is the exam? They said, in 5 months.
What?
Yeah, I
that,
was like,
that,
oh,
that is me the night before.
Yeah, they're sitting together and they're actually studying. It's not like they're wasting time or they're talking. They were actually studying all of these books, and they have their auditing to do on the side. All of this happens.
But Ankita, do you think the system of CA is preparing them for the future job they will have as an accountant? I mean, is working as a chartered accountant as stressful as it is to study to become one?
Working as a chartered accountant, what I understand is that it's mostly to deal with numbers. So it's long hours, a lot of numbers, and it's like repetitive work, and it's really hard, which is why they get paid a lot of money, which is, you know, fair.
As doctors, we go under a lot of pressure because in Prague, our exams are spoken exams. Yeah, we have exams where we speak to the professor, and the professor will ask us questions and we have to answer them back. So it's a conversation.
So you don't have written exams?
No written exams, Ankita. No written exams. Nope. Yeah, so we have written exams sometimes when the teachers just want to give us something to annoy us or just to make sure that we're on our feet all the time. But
man, medical students back in India, if they're listening to this, they're going to hate you so much for this.
Well, to be fair, Ankita, my first year was very tough. We had exams every single day. We were in university from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. And then we had to study for the exam the next day within a couple of hours before we went to sleep. So, but then as we went on throughout the years, Ankita, the daily exams were less, but the final exams were much bigger. So we did have to study a fair amount. And the pressure we are under when we're speaking to a professor face-to-face really prepares us for a real life and death situation in a hospital. I know a lot of friends who are working now as doctors, and they're put on the spot. The doctors will ask them, okay, what injection shall we give them? What medicine shall we give them? And they have to think about it on the spot.
Right.
So I believe that the system that I'm going through will be very helpful for me in the future.
You asked me if this training that the CA students are given in terms of their exams and all the audit work that they're doing, if that's going to prepare them for their careers once they get the certification. So my understanding is that all the practical work that they do, that is a lot of exposure, and they do benefit a lot from the work that they do. But I'm not sure if making them, you know, fail and write all 8 papers once again after 6 months is fair. I don't know if that's the best way to go about it. It's just so unfortunate. And I just remembered there's this other fact about CA that a lot of these students shared with me, is that it's not just good old hard work in this case, because they truly believe that there's a lot of luck involved, because sometimes you see when the results are out, a particular state will have a lot of certifications.
No.
Like, yeah, a particular, all the people who passed are from this particular, or there's a concentration of good results from a particular state in the country. And if you're lucky to be a part of that state, then you get your certification. And I don't know if this is based on the evaluation or if it's some other system, but a lot of these students have said that there's this pattern where some states have a greater pass
rate than
the others. And I don't know. I just feel this is so messed up.
But wait, Ankita, I'm very sorry to say this, but a big part of me is not surprised. Honestly, I think I've heard so many of these stories now that it's a big shame for me to say this, to be honest, that it's our own country, a country that we love so dearly, and we have to hear this. But I think that going through the whole process of becoming a chartered accountant, imagine someone who's doing it because they really have a passion for it. I'm sure by the second, third exam, it's all sucked out of them. So Ankita, you mentioned that there are, I'm sorry I keep going back to this, I just really want to understand this process because it seems to be quite a rigorous and tough one. So you have these 8 exams you have to do. No, was it 8 exams?
I'm pretty sure it's 8.
Are these sets you have. And do you have a timeline? Do you have, say, 3 years to finish it or 4 years to finish it?
I don't know about that.
Okay. And do you know what the average amount of time it takes for someone to become a CA in India?
I think 4 to 5 years, maybe. So the pass rate in the foundation for CA is approximately like 15%. And for the inter is 4 to 8%. So you have to first appear for your inter and pass that, and only then can you go to your finals. And the pass rate for the final exams is 3 to 8%, which means that that students who take admission in a CA course, only 0.02 to 0.09% actually pass the CA exam.
Wow.
In November 2013, for the final CA exam, the pass percent was merely 3.11%.
Now, Ankita, this is a ridiculous stat that you've just presented to me. And yep. Do people know this before they enter CA?
Well, I don't know. I didn't know this. I was not doing CA, but I just looked it up. And this just, if I were an aspiring CA student, looking at these stats would totally put me off. And I'd be like,
Ankita, before I came into medical school, specifically this medical school, I looked up pass rates. I looked up how, because obviously each school, each university is different. And it was quite a shock to me when I saw what the pass rate was in this university. But I'm sure if I saw different figures of stats, I would be like, see you later. Go find something else.
So seriously, Mino, if I were an aspiring CA student, if I saw these stats, I would totally decide not to go into
that. It would be interesting for our listeners now to let us know about these things, because you went into CA. Let us know. I mean, did you go into CA because you wanted to? Did you know about these stats? Did you start off CA and move into something else? Do you regret going into CA? It'd be really interesting to know, because especially, maybe not so much for Ankita, but for someone like me, we're not exposed to these degrees like BCom and CA. So it's very interesting for us to hear about these things.
I think it's time for a crazy story, Meenal.
Okay, story time.
Now, this is one of the most heartbreaking stories that I've ever heard from a CA student that I've had, you know, the opportunity to interact with. Because as I mentioned, I was staying with all these people. She told me how she was a good student. She was intelligent, this girl. She's smart. And because of that, after her 12th grade, her parents just said, okay, you're going to CA. You're going to do CA. And, you know, you're going to earn this much money once you get your certification. And she decided to listen to them and she went into this subject. And in the first year, she passed her exam and she got really good marks. Like, she was, I think, like an All Kerala fifth rank holder or something like that. And everyone thought, wow, she's doing so well. This was the right decision. But she went up to her parents and said, enough is enough. I can't do this to myself anymore. I cannot do CA anymore. I passed because I studied, because I'm capable of studying, but I can't continue. And her family was like, what do you mean? You're doing so well. You can't back out now. They did not let her back out of her CA course, and she had to continue. And towards the end, she was like pretty much our age. She's like 25, 26 years old now. And towards the end of her course, she decided that this is it. She can't do it anymore. And she's not been writing her exams anymore. Like, she's not been writing the rest of her exams starting from like 2015. And her family and her friends, they're all trying to tell her, please write the exam. And she just can't study and do it. And the worst thing is, because of her articleship and things like that, her parents told her that she can't go to any company that they don't approve of. So she has to be in that one city and she has to live with them. Otherwise, she can't do it. So they go to interviews with her.
What?
And yeah, they go to interviews with her, and her dad calls up her employer and talks to him about her progress at the company, and talks to and even complains about her, like she's not studying at home. And this employer is a dick, basically. He gets information from her dad, like this is what happens at home, and he gossips about her. And the whole South India region of the company knew personal stuff about this girl, because, you know, her own dad was calling up the employer and talking. And she's like, she's at the stage where she's telling her family that I can't do CA anymore. I don't want to do it. I will do anything else, you know, like BCom or anything. And her family is like, nope, we're not going to give you money for that. You are going to complete your CA. With the articleship training that she has, the sad thing is she's only a 12th pass. She doesn't have a degree. She never did her BCom or anything. She's 25, 26 years old, and she's like a 12th pass. But she can still, with the experience she's gained, she can go and interview with people. And when she interviews, she does land some jobs. Her parents say, you're not going to work outside of Kerala.
But Ankita, I'm sorry, I've been very quiet the past because I'm in so much shock.
Yeah, no, you've not reached the worst bit yet. The thing is, her family is like, you can't work outside of Kerala. And even if you do get a job outside of Kerala that is well paying, we are going to move with you.
Well, what?
Okay, that's not even the fucked up part. The fucked up part
is more.
The fucked up part is that she has a younger brother who's still in school.
Oh, don't tell me about it.
And they're like, that's okay. He can go to a new school, right? And the even more fucked up part is that they have no means of income if they move to this new city that they want to move to simply because their daughter landed a job there. So she will have to support all of them. Their plan is that this girl child of theirs is going to support all of them because they just can't trust their daughter enough to let her move to another city for a job that she landed on her own merits.
Wow, okay. It took me a while to digest that story, Ankita.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things we can talk about here, but...
No, I keep telling her, like, call the cops because this is insane. And she says, I really want to study something else. I want to do a degree abroad. And I know which college
see,
I want to go
Ankita,
to.
The thing is that if you look at someone in her situation, for her right now, it's very difficult because she's...
Oh, no. I just remembered there's more.
Oh, there's more. Okay.
To the story. There's more to the story. The fact of the matter is that she was a really good student when she was in school and she wanted to go into marine biology. And she showed me her notes and her stuff from when she was still in school. And she would, you know, color code her notes and she was really good in biology. She used to study really well and she would color code everything and make her notes pretty. And she's the one who taught the rest of her classmates right before the exam and all that. And she told them that she wants to go into marine biology. And they said, no way, it's not going to earn you a six-figure salary. And they forced her into CA and she said yes. And now she desperately wants to get out. She wants to do any other degree. And trust me, Meenal, this girl is so smart. You put her anywhere, she's going to succeed.
Yeah.
She's going to study and she's going to, you know, find a way for herself to succeed. But they're not letting her do that. They're like, we won't let you study. I mean, we won't pay for your education unless and until it's for a CA degree.
We are quite confident that she's not the only one. God knows how many more girls are going through this, but
girls or boys,
yeah. But the thing is, Ankita, can you just remind me how old she is?
She's 26.
She's 26. Okay, now Ankita, if I was 26, I would be. And you mentioned she's an intelligent girl.
Yeah, really.
Yes, it's difficult when she's being tied down so badly. And it's like, you know, when you've seen those movies where they put a tape over your mouth and hands tied behind a chair, that's what's happened to her. But the thing is, Ankita, if she hasn't helped herself, I'm not trying to say it's her fault. It really isn't. Of course, she's in a very difficult situation. And yes, it's not easy. Now, you've mentioned everything that she's been through, and I'm sure our listeners feel quite sorry for this poor girl. But when I look at it from my side, yes, the emotional stuff, the anxiety, the pressure is all there. But if you remove all that, if you remove that veneer and go down to logic, Ankita, she's a 26-year-old woman. The world is so big. We have information at our fingertips. People are earning money day and night when they have nothing. People go from rags to riches within days now. So you see that, yes, it's a tough situation, but Ankita, you will be the better judge of this. How much has she helped herself?
So one thing I told her is that maybe she should just get because she's smart and if she sits down and studies for these exams and she writes, at least appears for them, because she's now not even appearing for these exams because it's like a hunger strike from her side and a hunger strike from her parents' side. So I said, at least appear for these exams and clear them, because she's never had a lag paper. She's never had to repeat anything. It's just that she does not appear. So I keep telling her that spend 6 months of your life and write that final paper, get your certification, get that six-figure salary or whatever. And get the hell out of there. You know, that is one way of helping yourself. But the more I talk to her, the more I realize that she really doesn't want to do that. And she's, you know, stuck up with the idea that she can maybe make it big with something else, but she doesn't want to do this anymore. Another thing is that she's kind of depressed. So she says how she eats and she sleeps and she goes back into her room and she lies down and she's not studying anything anymore. So whenever I encourage her to appear for the coming exams, I think there's one in November or maybe there's one in May, she's like, I can't because I'm not prepared for it. I didn't study. So I don't know how you can possibly...
Okay, so you mentioned all these things, Ankita, and yes, I get it. It's not easy. And I know, because I have family in India, I have cousins in India, and they always say to me that, Meenal Didi, it's easier for you because you're away, you know, you live in a different environment. And I get it. Of course I get it. But I know someone who has gone through something similar. And you know, she's also a medical student here. And yeah, it's been difficult with family. It's been very difficult for her to pursue what she wants in her life. But she realized that sitting down and sorry for herself won't get her anywhere. And yes, Ankita, everyone has days and everyone has phases. But ultimately, you know, when you're looking at net profit of your emotions, the net profit should be, I'm going to go out there and do what I want to do. I'm going to go out there and do the best that I can and the best for myself. Because you will have negative emotions. You will, as you said, she has days where she's depressed and she's eating Cheetos or Doritos, whatever. We've all been there. I'm sure you have. I have too. But as long as your net output is positive, your net output is something that is beneficial, that's what we should be aiming for. That's what everyone should be aiming for.
I mean, in our pilot episode, you asked me if you were my role model, and I said you inspire me in a lot of ways. And I was like, you know why, Meenal? Because you're a medical student and you're doing this podcast. You have like a bandwagon of your websites and your Time Chore and Feminism India and all of those things happening in the background.
And potsofindia.com, www.potsofindia.com.
Oh, you shameless plug. So it's never to, just because you're doing medicine or just because you're doing engineering or law or CA or whatever, it doesn't mean that you can't pursue your passion and, you know, you can't do the things that you really want to do. One example is this person who's speaking in the podcast right here. Not me. Not me, because I only did what I wanted to do. But she also did the right thing, which was the right thing, quote unquote, right thing, because that's what, you know, her family probably wanted her to do, become a doctor. And she also does the podcast and she does all of these other side projects that she's passionate about. And, you know, I have a lot of respect for people like that. But at the same time, being stuck in a system where you can't find your way out of it, I can't.
Ankita, don't get me wrong. There are days I remember crying to my mom on the phone one day in third year. And it's, for those listening who are studying medicine, it was a pathology exam, which is a big subject for us. And I cried to my mom shamelessly. I openly, and even it was even in the middle of the road. I've done it before. But then, Ankita, I also, once you go over that crying phase, which may take a day, which may take 2 days, that's up to you. There's no specific set of time which you can get over anything. But once you realize how many resources you have at your fingertips and how lucky we are, Ankita, how lucky we are. This person you speak about, Ankita, she's going through this hard time through CA. But ultimately, she has parents who have paid their way through getting her qualified as a CA. I don't know if it's expensive or not. That's actually not really the point. The point is that she has that support system. She has a roof over her head. If she's just sitting down moaning and not picking herself up, I think that's more of a psychological issue that needs to be dealt with. Ankita, my own dad used to study on the lamppost on the street.
Like Abdul Kalam.
But he made it. He didn't sit down and moan about it. I mean, he left for Europe at a young age. Yes.
I mean, for our listeners, you should know that Meenal's parents just visited her in Prague. And I just spoke to her dad and he was telling me how he came to Europe with £5. You know, £5, which is 500 rupees in India, but it's £5. And with £5, you can not even buy a meal deal over here.
So you see, Ankita, it's tough. I understand and I feel sorry for this person. So I empathize with her to some extent, Ankita, but there has to be a line at some point. We as women, or potentially independent women, we have plenty of resources where we can do something.
Yeah, I really hope she sees the light and she decides to do something about her situation, because it's not a very pleasant feeling to be like 26 years old with no degree, just being a 12th pass and having this kind of interference from the family and this kind of discouragement from the family. You know, it must be a horrible situation, but I hope she sees that she can maybe do something about it herself and pick herself up and get out of here. You know, there are all these kinds of internships that you can do. If there's anyone else going through something similar, what I would like to tell you is that there are all these kinds of paid or unpaid internships that you can do, which can gain you some experience in fields that you're interested in. So in this day and age, it's not necessary for you to have a degree in a subject in order to hone your skills.
And Ankita, what you mentioned is very reasonable, I think. And we spend so much time scrolling through Instagram and Facebook. Why not just Google your passions, Google some outlets?
Because I personally, when I took up literature, it was because I knew deep down that someday maybe I could write something, you know, and I always wanted to go into something like journalism. And to just find out whether or not I wanted to do journalism, I went ahead and did an internship with the Indian Express. And I was doing field journalism with these people. And I was, you know, going and reporting. And it was a really fun experience, but at the end of the day, I knew that it's a good thing I did this. It's a good thing I gained this experience because I'm not going to go back and become a journalist again.
And Ankita, I when I was a student in school, I did some summer jobs as a sports coach. And that was just to see what kind of work I enjoyed, if I enjoyed interacting with people, if I enjoyed working with children. And it's really important to do this because, I mean, you can't make a decision about your life at the age of 17 if all you've done is just been through school. So Ankita, when I worked as a sports coach, I learned a lot of things. And one main thing I learned was that I want to work in a team environment. I want to work with other sport. For example, I was working with other sports coaches and we were dealing with kids together and we were making lesson plans together. So that's what I learned. I would have never known that I'd want to work in a team unless I'd had this experience, Ankita. And also another thing was that I enjoyed working with kids quite a lot. I felt that it was a very enjoyable It was a very rewarding profession to have. This is one reason why I got into medicine. I enjoyed the teamwork aspect. I enjoyed helping people aspect. And it all came in together. So when I decided that I wanted to go into medicine, I didn't go in blindly. You know, I went in thinking, I like this. Medicine is something that would work for me.
So that's what we want to share with you, that there are all these options available and you just have to maybe go on Google and search for internships and other opportunities available for you. You don't necessarily need money. You don't necessarily need to pay for a degree in order to be able to do these.
And you don't need tutions most of the time.
You don't necessarily need tutions also to do well in life. Just look up what interests you and find your niche. But the thing with a niche audience or a niche in today's world is that your niche does not comprise of, say, 100 or 1,000 people. If you go and start putting your work out there, your niche is going to be up to 10,000, 1 lakh, or even 1 million people. So it's a growing world. We're all getting connected. You can always find all these opportunities online. I mean, you're talking to two people who kind of, sort of...
Yeah, we've started everything
a living
online. Yeah.
Started making a living online. So it is possible. So do that. And please don't feel that you're tied down by something you're being forced into.
Mm-hmm. If you want to go into a profession where it goes against what is considered normal in your society, or if you want to go into a profession where you might be afraid it might not be accepted in your family, then do your research, man. Go online, see what jobs you can have and present this to your family. Because a lot of the time, our parents don't have the information we have a lot of the time. We assume that they do, but you guys need to understand that they don't. They're not on their phone all day. They're not rolling through Facebook or Instagram all day. They don't have what we have. So you can't assume knowledge. You have to some extent, Ankita, we have to educate them.
I guess that makes sense. Another thing that I wanted to discuss, you know, with regard to this system where you go into all of these professional courses and these courses that are supposed to get you a job the minute you pass out, right? So a big motivation for a lot of youngsters to go into engineering, especially more than medicine or anything else, is that the minute you pass out of your engineering course after 4 years, there'll be a campus recruitment process and you will get placed and you will get a normal engineer's salary and you will start earning for yourself within 4 years of education. But the sad fact is that there are just so many engineers out there that even when companies come for recruitment, not everyone gets placed. Mm-hmm. And the sad reality is that a lot of them end up going and working in call centers. Now, when I say people are working in call centers, people with engineering degrees are working in call centers or even like McDonald's or whatever, I'm not trashing any of those jobs. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying is that to work in a call center, you do not need a degree. I don't know if our listeners were aware of this, but I think starting from the time you're a 10th pass or a 12th grade pass, you can land a job in a call center.
Right.
And then what was the point in wasting 4 years of your life trying to get a degree that ultimately landed you a call center job, which you could have had, you know, soon after school,
when kids nowadays, I'm only asking because I'm not in India myself, so I don't want to assume any knowledge. But if you have kids who are going into engineering or are considering a career in engineering, do they know that the jobs are limited? It's the same with the chartered accountant thing, I guess. Like, if people know what the pass rate is, are people going in blindly into these subjects?
Kind of, yeah, because their brothers did it, their sisters did it. They got jobs in Infosys and TCS. Then we will also get a job in one of those companies and we'll be just fine. That is a mentality because a lot of people go into a lot of courses because it's the beaten track. it's the beaten path. You know, someone before me has done it and they came out okay. They turned out okay. So I'm also going to do it. That sort of a thing. I'm not sure if people actually go through stats and check whether or not there's a pass percentage or there's a placement percentage before they join a college or university anymore, Meenal. Because seriously, looking at the CA percentages and the CA
statistics, it looks like nobody goes through that.
I'm depressed.
But I think, Ankita, at the age of 18, you're not thinking 4 or 5 years down the line, are you?
Your parents are thinking for you. I mean, there are parents who fill out application forms for their children and do everything for them. You are not thinking. You're going to PC Thomas and you're going to Brilliant Pala and doing your crash courses before you appear for your engineering entrance exam. That's what you're doing. So that's the problem, you know, when there's a surplus of engineers and not a lot of them enjoyed what they studied and they just somehow managed to pass their exams and, you know, they have below average grades, they don't get a placement. And it doesn't necessarily mean that if you're a smart person, you will get placed. I've heard this story where the first rank holder in an engineering class went into an interview with a 5-point someone. So you know the term 5-point someone,
no,
right?
No, I don't.
So I think in engineering, basically, your grades are from 1 to 10, and you know, if you get an 8-point something grade, that means that you're a really smart kid, and if you're average, then it would be like 6 or 7 point something, and below average would be 5 point, 4 point, 2 point, 2 point, etc. would mean that you're really weak at what you do. So this first rank holder went into an interview with this average-ish kid, and ultimately the average kid is the one who landed the job because he knew how to bluff his way through the interview, while the smart one just failed at communicating his ideas. So it doesn't necessarily mean that only the smart ones get placed. So for whatever reasons, you did not get a good job. You do not get placed into the company that you were hoping to get into. And you end up with a call center job simply because you need to be employed at this stage because everyone's asking you which company you're working for. And you have no other option but to work for a call center. And at this point, I'm not saying that a call center job is bad. Please don't twist my words to think that, you know, oh, she's saying that a call center job is bad. No, it's not at all bad. It's just that you don't need that
degree.
It's
just a shame having a call center job when you've worked so hard. That's all it is.
Yeah, it's sad more than a shame. I feel that it's really sad, and I feel that it's a waste of effort when you wasted 4 years of your life
but
studying
this. Ankita, this is also a big wake-up call that it just shows that learning your numbers, going from page to page, memorizing like a parrot, which is something we mentioned in the previous podcast, in the previous episode.
Yeah, remember what I told you about the art class where there's a blank page on one side and you copy the colors onto the other side?
Yeah.
It's pretty much like that, where you just blindly follow and you imitate whatever solution seems to be working. So like 20 years ago, in the early 90s or the late 90s, an engineering job was really prestigious and it was working. The minute you pass out of your engineering degree, you're getting a job, you're getting placed, your life is set, etc. But enough imitation. You know, enough following the beaten path.
Just think about what you want and think for yourself. We allow too many people inside our brain and they do all the thinking for us. I think it's about time that we kick them out of our brain.
And then you blame the millennials for being confused and unhappy. Just think of it. Most of the people from our generation say stupid stuff like, all I need to do right now is get into a university abroad for my master's after working at a company for 2 years, because if I get into a university abroad and do my master's there, my life will be set. And you'll be like, what subject do you want to do your master's in? And they'll be like, I don't know, can you help me pick something? You won't believe it, Meenal. This kid sent me a message saying I want to come to the UK to study. And I said, that's great. If you're looking into some universities, which universities have you lined up? Have you started applying? What subject are you planning to do? And she said MBA. And I was like, don't you need a degree first in order to do your MBA? And she was like, yeah, I guess. So I said, what degree are you planning to get? She said, I don't know, can you help me pick something? I said, okay, but where do you want to do this MBA of yours? And she's like, I don't know, can you help me pick something? The idea is that she wants to do her MBA in the UK. It's just this utopian I don't know what kind of a mentality this is, that once I get my ass out of the country, my future is set. That is not how it works. It's not that simple. simple. Just because my senior is studying in a college in Melbourne, I'll ask this person to help me out, and I'll also go to Melbourne, and I'll be fine. That's not how it works.
Yeah, because once again, it's the same thing, Ankita. You see people going to Melbourne, you see people going into London. You have no freaking clue what they went through just to get there, and we just want to follow them.
Why they decided to take that step? Chances are, this person who went to Melbourne had a clear idea of what he or she studied or wanted to study, what kind of a career he or she wanted to go into. Doesn't mean that if you follow the exact same footsteps, you're going to be happy with where you end up.
That is very true. And so, Ankita, just as one of the last notes, I want to mention to everyone listening to us that whatever career choice you choose, whatever path you take, you have to balance your wealth and happiness that you will attain in the future. I mean, yes, one will be more than the other. Nothing will be in a plateau phase for a while. It will fluctuate throughout the years. And I mean, I can't say much. I'm not working a full-time job just yet. But Ankita can maybe tell us a bit more about that, because you're happy writing. You are, I hope you're quite comfortable with your income. And yes, there are days where you feel, actually, this might not be worth it. And there are days where you love your life. And they always say the grass is greener on the other side, Ankita. And don't make any hasty decisions.
You know how people say that wealth is not what matters, happiness is all that matters? One thing I can tell you right now is that those people who say that, they're stupid.
They're stupid, because yes. They should be whacked right on the head with whatever pen they use to write that.
Because it's stupid. You need your money.
Yeah. And the thing is, Ankita, I'm a medical student, and I'm always waiting for money to come in. Luckily, I'm covered by the Gibraltar government. So
right.
I get some money coming into my bank account, but I get it every 3 months, Ankita. And yes, when I'm on the third month, like the last few days, I actually feel quite, it's not that I feel low or I feel sad. You just don't have that inner vibe inside you that, yeah, okay, I actually can do what I want to do. It doesn't mean that I want to splurge money, but you know, just like safety net sort of thing in the back of your mind. I think to some extent, having money gives you that independence that you can do what you want to do. I think that's the main thing, Ankita, that independence, that you don't have to call up mommy or daddy. You don't have to call up anyone to ask for money. You are in control of your own life.
So it's the same thing when you mentioned how in the last month, in the third month, you look forward to the payment. For me, the payments come in on the 22nd, and for Shane, I think it comes in on the 28th.
Yeah.
So, you know, from the 20th of the month, we're like, oh, something is coming in. Why is it not coming yet?
My name.
Yeah. And the thing, if you want to have a quality life and if you want to be really happy in your life, money is important. But the good news is that there are many, many ways to earn money. Earning money in today's world is not as difficult as it used to be when our parents were trying to get through in the world. Speaking of parents, I think I want to mention that our generation, everyone says that our generation is complaining all the time and they're unhappy. The millennials are spoiled. The millennials were told that they could be whatever the hell they want to be, and now they're not happy with who they've turned out to be. You should understand that all they've seen before them is Gen X, which is our parents' generation. And it is true that Gen X never really complained. Gen X may have told us all these stories of how they walked kilometers and kilometers to reach their school and how they had one pair of uniform to wear every single day. But while their generation had it much worse, I would argue that they also had it so much better, because all they had in mind at that point was survival. Now, if you think of it, our grandparents' generation were the ones that were alive during the independence. And when our parents were growing up, all they probably heard from their parents was that you need to make it big, you need to survive, right? Some way or the other, our country is it's new, our country is fresh out of the British rule, and you have to somehow try and survive. So our parents never really worried about their passions and their creativity and things like that. They just jumped straight into whatever opportunity would help them keep the family afloat, and they did a great job at that. They were really good at making sure that they support themselves, their families, and keep everyone afloat. Unfortunately, the only lesson that they could impart to their children was also the same, you know. But these children were living in better times. They grew up believing that they could be whoever or whatever they wanted to be. So that is why the kids finally, they were in for a rude shock, because they grow up and they had it easy because their parents actually worked really hard to keep them afloat. And finally, they come into the real world thinking that I'm going to conquer the world, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And they feel that they're not happy with what they're doing. So that's my last point. point before we end the podcast is that while our parents' generation had it tough, they also had it a lot easier because options were way fewer and the only thing occupying their mind was survival.
Yeah, that's right. That's why I prefer buying clothes at a market than walking into a big shopping mall. The options just mind-blowing. I mean, where do you start? Where do you go? And it's quite difficult for us because I think with our access to TV so much, I mean, we see YouTubers gaining so much fame. We see people starting from nothing becoming big businessmen and big businesswomen. And to be fair, to some extent, people make it look really easy, which is why we even consider that option sometimes. There's no harm in it, of course, consider it. But, you know, with anything that you do, there's a lot of hard work behind it.
I mean, this podcast, for it to finally go on air, so much time was spent crying and getting frustrated. And
Ankita mainly, not me.
Yeah, me mostly. And remember the very first episode that we decided that we are going to figure it out ourselves. We didn't have proper microphones or anything. Yeah. And you and me tried to record with our phone. And it was such a disaster that Shane had to walk in from the other room and say, enough is enough. Yeah. You're both getting proper mics and doing it properly.
Yeah.
So yeah, a lot of hard work goes into every single thing. Keep that in mind. And also remember your options and the thing we mentioned about summer jobs and finding your niche audience and all of the internships and things that you can do.
There's always help everywhere. I mean, everywhere you turn your head, you will find help, whether it's on the internet, whether it's your school counselor, whether it's Ankita or whether it's our podcast. So there will always be someone to help you. You just have to be very proactive in finding it.
So there you have it. We hope that this discussion was something that you could relate to and maybe even share with more of your friends and family. We would really appreciate that because we would really love to have more listeners. And with this, we come to the end of our final episode on education in India for the time being. And we would love to hear some of your stories and thoughts on the same.
If you have any stories to share with us, please do send us an email to mail@desioutsiders.com. And please don't forget to mention explicitly whether or not you want us to share your story on the podcast. Ankita's quite nosy and she loves all these stories, so we've got to be careful. Yeah, you can follow us on social media at The Desi Outsiders and also visit our website, desioutsiders.com, to be a part of our community. Until then, I'm Meenal.
And I'm Ankita.
And we are the Desi Outsiders.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Lowe's knows how to help you save. This July 4th, get up to 40% off select Whirlpool kitchen appliances. Plus, get an additional 10% off when you buy two or three select major appliances. And when you buy four or more, you'll save an additional 20%. Find the right appliances and features that fit your kitchen's unique needs and style. Shop Whirlpool 4th of July deals at Lowe's. Valid through 7/9. See Lowe's.com for details. Savings vary based on purchase amount. Selection varies by location.